Yo, 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 it's your boy Kai, the sensei.
I'm no Jedi, and we are the Melanated Movie Guys.
Melanated, huh.
Everything black. You know how we get down, y'all.
What's goody in the hoodie?
Yeah, man, yeah. We got some exciting stuff for you guys today. How you feeling, my brother?
Feeling great, feeling good. How you feeling, my boy?
I'm feeling excellent, man. You know?
We are getting into a good one. A good few. Today, my friends, we would like to welcome you to Arrakis. Drop God. Hans Zimmer score.
I'm talking about... Bro, they were killing them little horns.
Hans Zimmer be eating.
What are those horns called?
Hans Zimmer, I don't know.
Goodness gracious. But
this nigga Hans Zimmer be eating on the scores, bro. I think Hans Zimmer did Inception, bro. Yeah, he did Inception, Interstellar. Both, like, Hans Zimmer be eating, bro. Like,
yeah, man.
The Dark Knight, like, this nigga, yeah. Him and his music.
So we ain't hit the what
oh,
the
God. Score and shit.
What the movie that we are on, the movies.
The universe.
Yes. The Dune series that's going on right now, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to throw a little extra in there for you guys or whatever, you know. Because actually, Dune is a book that got written, you know.
Six books that got written right. In the mid-60s. Series of books. It was the mid-60s by, what's his name, Frank Herbert?
I believe so.
Yep, Frank Herbert. Actually, Dune, I don't know if you know, Dune inspired Star Wars and shit like that. The Dune books.
It's crazy because Star Wars came out before goddamn Dune, though, right?
But they said which one is it? It was one Star Wars movie they were saying was inspired by the Dune
straight
books.
From the book.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they tell the same story. It was a Revenge of the Sith, I think they were saying.
Yeah.
Was inspired by one of the Dune books or whatever. But they were saying Dune inspired a bunch of sci-fi stuff that people don't know about if you didn't read the books in the 60s. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't know about that.
Exactly.
We
exactly.
weren't even thought of in the 60s.
And to be honest, I don't even know if I would actually go back and read those books. I'd probably catch some synopsis.
They said they're really good.
You think they would be really good for us right now?
Because it's like, probably because it's a futuristic book.
Okay, we're still into that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
it's sci-fi. Yeah, so, you know, sci-fi translates far.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think. Star Wars is still good.
Yeah.
Star Wars was written in the 70s.
And it's been banging for what?
Because it's sci-fi.
40 years?
So, 50. 50 years later, outer space and lightsabers and all that futuristic shit is still cool.
Still cool.
You know what I'm saying? That's why Dune was still cool.
Yeah.
Like, the movie is cool as fuck because it's sci-fi. Like, sci-fi. I don't think it's hard for sci-fi to feel old.
Yeah. And sci-fi is funny too, because you can like the sci-fi even if it's corny. You feel what I'm saying? Because you just know we know the capabilities of what can happen with certain movies or whatever. So it's just like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You know, sci-fi's they can have a little goofy aspect to them too.
So Dune is, let's just start here.
Yeah.
Dune is an amazing universe. The universe Frank Herbert created when he wrote these books is huge, expansive, full of layers and politics and different people and planets and rules. It's amazing.
Man, and it's so crazy because it's like he only mentions Earth in his books maybe one or two times.
Bro, it's like 13,000 planets in
saying?
The book.
It's like but Earth is like he's so far gone from what reality is. He's like made his whole own thing, and that's what's really killing it for him, because this is like, you know, you create something and give people let their own imaginations run and shit or whatever. It's just an amazing feeling or whatever, and he was able to give us that feel, you know, people who want to see that kind of stuff in the sci-fi world.
And
you know?
he built a big rule a big thing with sci-fi is world building. It's so important mm-hmm. because with sci-fi, you are introducing elements that aren't normal to our reality. Exactly. So you have to make them feel normal to the reality of your film.
Exactly.
But you got to do that effectively for the audience to be convinced about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they do so good. Even everything doesn't make sense. Man, but they do such a good job at making it feel like it all makes sense in this world that you don't even care. Man. Like, bro, on the sand, when you on the sand, worms supposed to come whenever you make vibrations. So if the fact that anybody can ever do anything on sand and not get swallowed makes no sense in this world.
Right, right.
But it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. But we don't question it because it seems to work in the rules of this world. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah. So yeah, Dune is this huge, expansive world. Frank Herbert wrote these books, and his books have been adapted more than once. Like, it's happened more than once.
I'm talking
the
about
first time was in 1984. David Lynch did a version of Dune. And we're going to be real brief with the 1984 version because it is a product of its time.
Yeah.
So, you know, real campy acting. It's not a very... They don't take the movie too serious. You know what I'm saying? It's real campy. The costumes are... Now, what I will say is they went all in on the costumes.
The like, costumes, they because definitely gave it no, all out.
Because they can't do CGI like they do nowadays, they went all out on the costumes.
But,
like, they,
I mean, that's all you're going to... For me, that's all you're going to get. I mean, like...
Yeah, they tried to... So they did the first book. The current Duneverse did the first book in two movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 5.5 hours total runtime with the two movies together. The 1984 Dune tried to do the whole first book in 2 hours and 16 minutes. So you can imagine how off the pacing and incoherent the story is. You can really imagine.
Being somebody who watches movies now, you couldn't even probably follow what was going on in that movie just because how fast things had to go for this, for, you know.
For us to get to the same ending that we got to in Dune Part 1 and 2 these days. They achieved that in less than half the runtime. So, it's not gonna hit how current day Dune would. It was hated when it came out. There's like a low-key cult following now because they just acknowledge like how hard it was for them to even achieve what they did. But overall, the movie was not loved when it first came out.
Even back then, I'm not even mad at them. Because if I seen that shit back then, I'd be like, yo, really? And there's probably, comparing it to fucking Star Wars?
Yeah.
Or some shit like...
Pretty sure. But they were saying, when I was saying they said Star Wars took stuff from Dune, Star Wars did not come out. Star Wars, the movie came out before
that's Dune. What I'm saying.
Star Wars took stuff from the Dune books, which came out way before Star Wars. They came out in the mid 60s. Mm-hmm. Star Wars didn't come out until I think it was the late 70s mm-hmm. when the first Star Wars came out. But yeah, Dune was out. The books in Dune were out before Star Wars was ever out.
Definitely.
So Star Wars took a lot of its elements, they were saying, from the Dune book series.
Shit, I would have too. Add some lightsabers to that shit, man. Go crazy, huh?
But, campy performances. Now, they have the same story beats as the current day Dune. 1984 Dune.
Now, I'm not going to lie. The 1984 Dune, what I did realize, they put all the main points but it was just all the main points. It was no filler. It was no filler.
No time for you to sit and breathe.
They just told you.
Feel a connection with the characters or anything of that nature. It definitely did not. 1984 Dune, the graphics weren't it for me. I hated the shields.
It looked like
Minecraft.
They were Roblox.
Yeah.
They were dead ass Roblox in that shit. When I seen that shit pop up for the first time, I was like, what? I was like, how did this even fly back then?
And mind you, don't get me wrong, there are movies from the 80s and earlier that I enjoy.
Right.
Dune just wasn't one of them.
Shit, I'm not even gonna lie to you guys. I didn't even watch Dune. It's 2020, what, four now? Yeah. It's 2024. You guys watched the 2023 and 2024. Or 2022 and 2024? Yeah.
No,
y'all
watched the first one came out in 2021.
Really? It was 3 years. My fault. Watch these Dune parts. Part one and part two. And y'all gonna see why we did a video on this or podcast. Because it's really a solid movie. You feel me?
Yeah, but yeah, the old one... I don't want to hang on it too long. I really want to get into the newer Dunes. But yeah, Dune 1984, David Lynch, very ambitious movie. Yeah, he just did a lot more telling. He did a lot. There was a lot of exposition, a lot of just talking, a lot of hearing people's thoughts and stuff like that. And I just think, you know, in the newer version, it was that kind of stuff was conveyed a lot better.
Yeah, it was able... I think it's just the time we live into or whatever. Back then, they wanted that kind of over-exaggerated type, you know. The acting and stuff. You know, acting.
The campiness, yeah. And that was okay in the 80s.
But now, we want to feel like it's real.
A lot more subtlety in today's acting.
I felt like I was on Arrakis. I felt like I was on this planet while I was watching this movie. That's how great this freaking movie is. I enjoyed it so much or whatever. So
we can get into. So we gonna go ahead and move past Dune 1984, y'all.
We'll do small little comebacks for comparisons, you know. Right. But that's it.
We're not gonna spend too much time on it though. Dune 2021. Directed by Denis Villeneuve. I think I pronounced his name right. Villeneuve.
I'm not even gonna do that shit with you, bro. I just don't want to massacre his name.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, Denny. Hey, man, I love you, bro. This movie was off the freaking chain.
And like, Denny has other movies that I love. Oh, yes. Blade Runner 2049 was a movie I thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. He also did Prisoners, which was another movie I loved. Mm-hmm. I love Prisoners, bro. He also did Arrival. Which was another sci-fi film.
Film. Arrival was okay. I didn't really sit too well with Arrival.
Okay, but did you see Sicario? Because he did Sicario. And I love Sicario.
Was that the
drug cartel movie?
No, I didn't. I'm thinking
about that. Sicario is a good one, bro. Yes, sir. You have to watch Sicario. I didn't see that. Denis has a lot of movies. I like him as a director. Mm-hmm. I like his vision. I like how he directs. Greg Fraser was the cinematographer. Greg Fraser is amazing. Greg Fraser was also the cinematographer on The Batman.
Oh, okay. Jeez,
Greg Fraser eats. Yeah. Like, yo, Greg Fraser eats, bro.
That's a good vision right there. These guys really have some incredible, you know, minds or whatever to see and come up with what they come up with.
Our main character, Paul Atreides, is played by Timothy Chalamet. I like little Timothy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rebecca Ferguson is his mom, Lady Jessica. We got Zendaya as Shawnee. Oscar Isaacs as Paul's father, the Duke Leto Atreides, you know what I'm saying?
They really had a lineup. Yeah, the lineup is,
you know, and I've only named a few people. I haven't even named Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård, you know what I'm saying? Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem. Hold on. Dave Bautista, stop playing. They had the lineup.
They went and got some big names.
They had the lineup. Bro, we got Javier Bardem and Josh Brolin. That is the No Country for Old Men duo, bro. Man. If you know, you know, bro. If you know, my real film lovers out there, if you know, you know.
Yes.
They had the squad, though. But we had fucking Aquaman and Thanos, bro. And Mary Jane. And Moon Knight. Like we had the lineup.
What are we doing?
Come on, bro.
Going to get them is really good or whatever, because it's like, you know, you get movies where you get a big lineup and characters don't make an impact. I'd say one thing, most of these characters that they went and got, they made a really good impact on the movie. You know what I'm saying?
No wasted space.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? They just weren't there taking up space and just being here. Nah, like... Characters actually, you know, you actually like most of the characters that are in this movie, mm-hmm. whatever, you know. So, starting with fucking Timothy Chalamet, that guy is, I mean, he did a really good job for his role or whatever, for Paul.
Yeah, I liked him as Paul. Paul is a complex character. Mm-hmm. Paul is Duke Leto's son.
Yep.
And Duke Leto is basically the king of Iraq. Yeah. I mean, no. He's the king of...
What's that planet called?
Their planet is called... because they are Atreides. And the Atreides live on... Oh, what planet do the Atreides live on, bro? But anyways, Duke Leto, Arrakis. No,
that's the desert.
Arrakis is the desert world.
So they got moved to the desert world. I don't know if... Do we ever know?
Oh, yes. They say it. They say what planet, bro? We're ever chasing the galactic. Crazy.
I got you.
Okay,
I got you.
But anyways, Caladan.
That is the name of it, bro.
Okay, mm-hmm. They ruled a planet called Caladan. It's the oceanic planet. But anyways, Duke Leto is like the king of Caladan, basically, yep. Bro. Paul, our main character, is his son. You know what I mean?
He's a prince.
So the big, big deal in this whole universe is spice. Spice melange.
The spice controls everything, man. Spice is what allows the intergalactic travel.
That's how they warp speed. Don't ask me how, but that is how they do it.
It makes sense to me. Spice.
It's like a hallucinogen drug if you take it as a human, but it also makes you stronger, makes you live longer, but you also have visions and things of that nature. And one of the side effects, if you're a human who regularly consumes spice, is your eyes will turn blue.
Facts.
So, but spice is only located on the desert planet of Arrakis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because in this universe... It's 1,300 planets, but we're only worried about three right now.
Mm-hmm.
Caladan, which is home to House Atreides.
Yes.
The home planet of the Harkonnen. I can't remember the name of their planet, but it's the home planet of the Harkonnen. That's the other another major house. And then the desert planet Arrakis, which is home to the Fremen. Those are the native people of Arrakis, and they are the people who know how to survive the harsh desert of Arrakis.
I can't even.
Now, the planet is Giedi Prime. That is what the Harkonnen home planet is called. But yeah, the only reason all these other people, the Fremen are the only
natives to the Arrakis.
Of Arrakis. Mm. The only reason other people go there is in search of spice.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the only place they can find it.
Yeah, so spice is like
the
gold.
Most
yeah,
valuable thing in the universe. It's the only thing they can, you know, use to, you know, travel through the space and time. You know what I mean? So
and live longer. It makes you age slower.
Man,
so you
it
know.
Got so many medical properties. So it's just like, of course, it's the most valuable thing in the universe. And they go to this planet to take all the spice. But it's just like, really, all these people coming to take the spice aren't what?
Because the planet is being ruled. So the emperor took control of the planet a long time ago. And the emperor basically assigns a house to control the distribution of spice from Arrakis.
Right.
It's been House Harkonnen so far. But quote unquote, they haven't been able to control the Fremen, the native people. So the emperor is giving the operations over to House Atreides.
Yeah.
And the Harkonnen are leaving and the Atreides are coming in. And that basically sets up our story. Like, okay, Paul and his family now have to move from Caladan to the harsh desert planet of Arrakis.
I'm talking about
it does not sound ideal, but it is for his family because to be in control, to be the people that control and watch over the spice production.
Oh, it's everything.
Basically, you're the most powerful people in the universe.
I mean, they were richer than the emperor because they control the spice harvests.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Spice is just that valuable in this world. And really, you know, the people in this world, the politics of this world, they'll do anything to get it, you know? And it was some things going on. You feel what I'm saying? I feel, what was it? That House Atreides was really a house that people looked up to. You feel what I'm saying?
They came from a really nice... The planet was full of oceans and lush oceans. And they were a powerful house.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big army, a lot of power. And they were a strong house. People did fear House Atreides and look at them in a certain fashion.
That's why they got...
The emperor had fear that House Atreides would be too strong.
That they would rise up in some way against him.
So the Emperor really was sending House Atreides to Arrakis to be murdered in a setup coup type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they had no idea that's what was going on. They went there. Paul and his family went there. Started meeting the Furman, started learning about the spice production, seeing what was going on. You know, they were being taken around the planet, introduced to some of the, you know, rules of Arrakis, like the sandworms. And, you know, we get to see Paul watching videos about how you live on Arrakis and how to sand walk. And
we can start there because Paul, fucking, he had been doing that shit even before he got to Arrakis for some reason. It was just like, I guess that's, I mean, being a Duke's son, I guess you want to be informed about a lot. Right. But being that, I mean, Paul definitely, he was already killing it from when we first seen him in his first scene or whatever. I'm talking about waking up and his mom telling him to use the voice, bro. I mean,
so
I
almost, Paul is, he's a prince. He's, because he's the son of the Duke. Right. So Paul is smart. Of course, son of the Duke. He's been privy to the best education. He's smart. Paul is skilled in combat, but not experienced.
Yes.
Meaning he's been training with some of the best fighters in the universe his whole life. So his skill level is through the roof. Top notch. But Paul has never been in war, considering he's the Duke's son. And he's still young. He has not had a reason to be in war, exactly. Considering, you know, the position of his house and things of that nature. But Paul is very skilled because of the people who've been training him. But Paul is, you know, he's not a fearful piece of royalty. Like, he wanted,
I think he embraces that part of his royalty, and he knows what is to come for him as far as what it means to take over House Atreides. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, in a way, he don't even really want it, but it's like, you know, he knows it's his duty, so he does his due diligence as far as, you know, studying and, you know, training, you know, and learning the best he can so he can support his father or whatever. So I can really, I like Paul's character. I can really respect his character for some stuff like that.
Jason Momoa plays a character named Duncan. Ooh. He's basically he's the best fighter from the Atreides.
Yes.
So he goes to Arrakis beforehand, before everybody else, of course, to, you know, see what's going on. See what's what. Yeah, he's their best fighter. He's going to meet the Furman first. The Furman are known to be aggressive. They are great fighters. You know, they live on this planet, Arrakis. Mm-hmm. What has to be known is Arrakis is a tough planet. It's rough. Yes. Oh, it's tough. Man. People don't live there. Only the Furman know how to survive the desert.
Exactly.
But it's this is where spice is. So, you know, people try. But, you know, when Paul has visions. Paul has visions. His mom... It's what you guys. It's okay. A lot of lore to this shit.
It's a lot of lore to this shit.
So his mom is a part of this clan of people, this race. They're called the Bene Gesserit.
And
basically,
God,
they're like mystics. They can see the memories of their ancestors. They have this thing called the voice they can use.
It's kind of like a mind control thing.
Yeah, it basically makes you do whatever what they tell you to do.
Told you to do. Like,
So Paul, since his mother is part of the Bene Gesserit, of course, Paul has that in his DNA. So
his mother was played by Rebecca Ferguson.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, so she's a Bene Gesserit and
Lady Jessica Atreides. Yes.
Oh man. I like her character. I love and I hate her character at the same time.
We'll get into why we hate her in Doom Part 2.
Why we love her right now, because she's actually pretty solid. You know what I'm saying? She care about her son.
She does.
You know, they never got married, but, you know, essentially, I mean, that's her husband. I mean, like, I had your child, like, you know, so it's just like, and then the offspring that we just had, what were they calling that him? The Lisa Alagel?
The Lisa Aldi. So, what that is the prophecy from the Bene Gesserit.
Right.
That he would first off, the Lisa Aldid is supposed to be a woman.
Yep.
The Bene Gesserit have the ability to choose the gender of their children. The prophecy said it was supposed to be a woman, but when Lady Jessica got pregnant, to defy her mother, she decided to have a son. So she's already defying the prophecy. So boom, y'all. This is something I'm going to keep pointing out as we talk about this. The prophecies in Dune are fake. Yeah. They are all fake. People are changing them as they go to fit certain things.
Yeah,
the Bene Gesserit does it faithfully. This prophecy is supposed to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica's going to make it a boy. You know, and so basically Paul is part Bene Gesserit. You know, so Paul can use the voice. He's not good at it. But he can use it. And we see early on him
practicing with
his mom. Give us insight on Paul's skills very early. We see Paul use the voice. We see Paul train in combat with Gurney.
I like that you pointed that out, because that's a lot to this movie. You know what I'm saying? There isn't a lot of dialogue, but there is.
Right.
And then it's like, but they're giving us everything that we need, you know, as far as the acting and, you know, what they're saying to us, as far as what we need to know in the movie. But it's like, you know, I don't know how it felt when I was watching it.
The way they convey information is very smooth.
Yes.
Because they don't tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
They'll show you stuff. You know what I mean? Like, even like, okay, the warriors in this movie, they use these shields. And basically, the shields can stop any fast-moving thing.
Yep.
So bullets and stuff won't work on these people because of these shields. But they don't flat-out tell us that. Before Paul trains, they show them turn their shields on. And as Paul and Gurney fight to train, we are given insight on how the shields function.
Exactly.
So they're not telling us. They're showing us through Paul's training. We're being put onto the rules of this world through the training, rather than them saying,
this is how this works.
So we're taught a lesson in an engaging way. You know what I mean? Like, you learn about these shields while watching Paul training this crazy combat and seeing how they have to slow down to give the killing blow, because the shields only slow moving things can get through the shields.
And that's what's cool about it, because it's like, seeing that is what makes it cool. Because if you're not watching, you won't see this stuff or whatever. You know what I mean? This is a movie you kind of got to sit down and really, you know, take in, you know?
Yes.
You know, it's not one of the movies you just put on and just be like, oh yeah, I watched this. It's like, nah, I feel, you're in the sci-fi, this is one of the movies you should sit down and really just take in or whatever.
And when I first seen Dune in 2021, I didn't pay it no attention. I barely paid it any attention. Yeah. I didn't really like. It was like I kind of shrugged it off.
And then
I rewatched it
and realized
later. And I'm talking about, I rewatched it 2 years later.
Yeah, and realized it, that shit was.
And I was like, whoa.
When I first seen Dune part one, I was like, yo, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. You feel what I'm saying? And I understand it more because I didn't watch it so many times now. But it's just like, even then, I didn't understand everything. But I knew that, damn, this is one of the best sci-fi movies that I've ever sat down and watched, just because how they were to do things or whatever. Right. You know, how they gave us everything. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, just enough is said. And everything else is shown through what the world is and how the actors play their parts or whatever. And I do appreciate that. The actors did a really good job, man. I give a shout out to every last one of them for Dune part one.
Yeah. So yeah, they you know, Paul, so the story is about Paul.
Yeah.
And Paul's journey after his family is betrayed and essentially wiped out, other than him and his mother. It's Paul's journey through learning Arrakis, learning the native people in the Furman, gaining their trust, and essentially becoming their leader so he can lead a war against the people that backstabbed
his family. Yeah, man.
I want to make it clear from early on.
Oh,
Paul's biggest motive is revenge.
Oh, yeah. And from the very beginning, I mean, we are noted that, I mean, the politics to this shit are not kind to House of Traitors. They weren't fucking.
All right. So like you were saying,
Oh yeah, man. You know, politics in this movie is they're just it just isn't kind to my fellow House Atreides, man. I mean, like, it's like they wanted to get rid of my guys, and I didn't appreciate that.
Cause that's how it is when you man,
when you're doing good. When you're doing good, they just want to see you fall, bro. Like, but we fought with Paul because Paul, he still went with it. He was like, man, I'm just gonna do what I can and what I, you know, feel like I should do for my house. And he went and did the damn thing, bro.
Yeah, essentially they get attacked in their sleep one night. Their sleep, the Harkonnen forces attack them in their sleep. They take Paul's dad.
And hold up. Before you go anywhere else, let's just pause right here at this scene, because that scene, it hurt me. It hurt me to my core.
When seeing, they took all that?
Seeing the whole House Atreides just fall. Like,
yeah.
The scene, how they did it, where, I mean, they're waking up out of their sleep. I'm talking about the soldiers and all this. They're waking up out of their sleep like, yo, something's going down. The missiles. You see how the missiles were falling on top of the, and like,
yes,
slow-mo going,
yes,
through the shields,
because you
or whatever,
move slow you to move get slow through the shield.
It was so crazy seeing
they were
all
blowing
that
up all their ships.
And then the guy, oh my God, the fucking, the guy who betrayed my, let
the
shields the
doctor
down or whatever, the doctor, let's get on his ass real
Dr.
quick.
Dr. Wellington Yu.
You knew your wife was dead already. Like, you really got me tight.
So the Harkonnen kidnapped his wife and basically got him to betray House Atreides. That's how they caught the Duke, Paul's father. Dr. Yu poisoned him. And it was crazy. When Dr. Yu poisoned him, he gave him a poison tooth and told him if he bit it, he could spray out a poison that would kill everybody in the immediate area around him. So he was telling Duke Leto to use it when he's in front of the Harkonnen leader, Baron Harkonnen. The Harkonnen leader, which is weird, because it's like, I'm going to kidnap you,
get your
whole house killed, and then try to give you a little...
I didn't understand his motive. Yeah, I was like, I understand you wanted to get your wife back and stuff, but you got to know that in one part of you, that your wife isn't, like, the Baron's just using you.
Yeah, the Harkonnen are savage
people. Like, you had to know this, and really that's what made me mad about his character. I was like, you know, he wasn't shown much in the movie, but his betrayal was a big piece to it, because it was like, you know, if it wasn't for him, you know, they would have been okay with the attack. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
He the one that let the shields down.
Essentially, that's how the Harkonnen got to do the thing, you know, because of course they have shields, but...
I mean, like, the shields were... They were very important in this, you know, how they fought each other and stuff. It was like, it was kind of important how they used them shields against each other.
They were really important.
And the shields just weren't on the person themselves or whatever.
They were on the ships.
They was on the ships. They was on different, they was just all on everything, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the shields look very, very good, very believable on some shit, you know what I mean? Compared to what we seen on the 1984 Doom, that Roblox shit.
Those shields look like,
yes,
fucking,
and they
Minecraft.
They would have been better just leaving that shit out.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm talking
like...
about what? They could have pretended. They could have pretended. It would have looked better than what the fuck they used.
Yo, because it looked that shit looked insane. Like, their shields from 1984 Doom, bro. It was nuts, bro. It was like fucking... Bro, it was like a 1999 PS2 game. Like, it was bad. Like, yeah, but... Yeah, so only Paul and his mom survive, and... Hey, this is the start of Paul Atreides, you know?
Yeah,
father dead, whole house destroyed, whole house dead except your mom.
And seeing that, that's got to be devastating. Because you remember when they was on the plane, they really got taken in their sleep. So they don't really know what's going on until they wake up and get away from them guys or whatever. Another part where you really get to see the voice being used. Because the voice,
Lady
it was
Jessica.
So cool, but it was like, it wasn't used like that in the movie like that. You feel what I mean? Lady Jessica, it was very subtle when they used it. It was like, you know, Lady Jessica was a monster with that shit. Like,
yeah, she was real good with it.
Give me the knife, nigga.
Kill him,
man. She wasn't playing or whatever.
It was dope.
And Paul was in there. He tried to get it too, whatever. And he did just enough so she can get, you know, he was remove the gag, you know? And that shit, nigga, move. I was like, okay, Paul, get it, you know? But after they got out, it was like they seen where they was at and they seen basically House Atreides falling, you know, at the Capitol in Arrakis. And it was just. It was sad because really it was a massacre. It wasn't even a fight. It wasn't a battle of honor or nothing like that. It was they were asleep. They had an inside man who helped them help the Harkonnens destroy Arrakis and destroy Atreides who were at Arrakis. And you know, a big part of that too, the Emperor, he was a part of this. What were his people called? The Skavidars or something?
Something like that.
Like,
he wanted House Atreides gone because he was scared of them becoming too powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Emperor didn't want to lose the throne. And
mind you, we don't see the Emperor from the whole first
That is book. Why he colluded with the Harkonnen to take out House Atreides.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Emperor's only, he's not shown...
Not until the second movie. He don't get shown to the second
at all.
Not one time.
No, like, I think you're right. Yeah,
he don't get shown to the second movie because, of course, his daughter gets shown then. Right. Later, so you know, but I mean, like, it was sad how they fell, and that's just all. I just wanted to bring that shit up. You know.
But yeah, they you know, that's the start of Paul after his house falls, and the Furman. Let's get into the Furman. The Furman are the native people of Arrakis.
Yeah.
The Furman are fierce. They're tough fighters. They know how to survive the desert. They know how to survive the giant sandworms that live on Arrakis. We haven't said anything about the giant sandworms that live on Arrakis.
When we first see the sandworm officially, these niggas are running away from this shit. And when it gets up in Paul's face, the detail they put into these sandworms... It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, it was... I told you, I felt like I was on Arrakis. I thought this fucking worm was going to eat me alive.
They can grow to be at least 450 meters long.
Man.
Which is around 15 times the length of the longest blue whale.
The way they are moving huge. Through that goddamn sand?
Yeah, they are about over 400 meters long or 1,300 feet. Bro, and over 40 meters in diameter, which is 130 feet. They're huge, guys. And the Furman know how to avoid them, but the Furman also know how to ride them.
Oh, my God.
And use them for war and things of that. The Furman are fierce people.
Yeah.
They fight fierce. They live fierce. And the most important thing to them is water.
Yeah.
Because the planet, the desert planet of Arrakis, water is the commodity that's needed. Yes. They don't waste water. They won't even cry over the dead because tears are a waste of water. Like, they don't. When you die, they have machines that draw out your water. Because even when you die, they cannot allow your water to be wasted.
That's how important it is. Like, speaking of Arrakis, let's just... take a quick moment. So Arrakis, these guys, where they filmed this at was on location, y'all. That's why the desert looks like a desert.
It
looks real. I mean, like, this is why it looks so good when we're watching this movie, because I mean, where they filmed it at, and it's Jordan. That's a country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's by Israel.
Yeah, Middle Eastern.
Wadi Rum. I might not be saying that right. I might be saying that right, but shoot, I mean, it's a pretty place, even being a desert. And they being able to shoot what they shot there, oh, man, it just makes it feel like you're just...
Like the immersion is crazy. You're going to feel like you're in this universe. Mm-hmm. This is like 8,000 years in the future. It was like the year 10,000 something.
Mm-hmm. They're good little deals into the future.
But yeah, the Furman, so... You know, the other houses are under the impression it's only like 50,000 Furman on Arrakis, when the truth is the Furman live underground and it's millions of them.
Millions.
So they don't even know the amount of power that the Furman have.
They don't even live on that side of the hemisphere, basically. You know, it's a sandstorm that covers the middle of the planet, basically, that they have to travel through, the north and the south. And
everybody who isn't from Arrakis thinks the south is uninhabitable.
Exactly.
But the Furman have clans that live in the south of Arrakis.
Millions of these people, whatever. Now, one thing about the south, they really believe in the prophecy. The Bene Gesserit have been, you know, planting these seeds, you know, on these people for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And they really believe that this certain Messiah is going to come and rescue them and, you know, liberate them from what they've been going through. And, you know, that's where Slick Paul is coming in. You feel what I mean? Now, we already told you that the prophecies are fake. The Bene Gesserit have their own motives, what they want to happen for the universe.
And apparently, everybody has a prophecy.
Exactly.
The Furman have their own prophecy about someone coming, to an outsider coming to lead them to salvation, mm-hmm. and release them from the control of the Emperor. You know, there are all these prophecies floating around. And after House Atreides falls, I think Paul was just, one of them needed to be true. Paul needed his revenge. And whatever prophecy was going to lead him to that revenge is what Paul was going to rock with,
mm-hmm.
At that point.
Oh, he was using... Now, this is one thing. Paul knew. He knew that the prophecies weren't real. He knew that Bene Gesserit had been out here, goddamn, you know, doing their little...
Manipulation, yeah, and influence.
You know what I'm saying? But he definitely, I won't say, he definitely used that to his advantage, which he would need, you know?
Yeah.
Especially going on, you know? I mean, after your house is destroyed, you know, who are your allies? You know? And
that's why he turns to try to get acquainted with the Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Furman are no one's allies as of now.
Yep.
So it's like, if I can get close to them, I have a powerhouse that nobody even knows about.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. so that was really Paul's only choice. Once his whole house was murdered, all he could turn to was the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his mom were lost to the desert, so all he could turn to was the desert. And the only thing in the desert are sandworms and the Furman.
And that's what I appreciate about it, too, because, man, like, Paul, he was out for revenge, but he still had the right motives. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His mother, on the other hand, she already knows the prophecy and how stuff's supposed to go. So she's going ahead and planting even more seeds. Now that they have arrived, it's like she's trying to plant more seeds so people really will think Paul is their Messiah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She wants them to believe it. Mm-hmm. So, because she wants the power that comes with it.
And
Lady Jessica, unfortunately, but Lady Jessica, as the movie, the story goes on, Lady Jessica does get more focused on the power that will come behind Paul being the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's hurtful, because Paul didn't really want it to be like that. You feel what I'm saying? He definitely wants to get revenge for his father and all this stuff. But I feel like in the beginning, he wants to do it for the right reasons. You feel what I'm saying? But then, it's like, the pressure builds. It's like...
I will argue with you on
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
I don't think it was ever for the right reason.
Well, revenge is never
reason. Paul, it was always just a pride thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, as we get into Doom Part 2, I think the argument I'm presenting, you're going to be like, damn. Because yeah. I think a lot of Paul's decisions were selfish.
Mm-hmm.
He just made them look not selfish, because that was the way to get the people to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't look selfish. They wouldn't have followed you if you looked selfish. And, you know, we're finna get into Dune 2.
Because okay, Dune yeah, we 1... We're still on Dune 1.
Dune 1 is basically them introducing you to the world and showing the fall of House Atreides. Like, we've essentially gotten to the end of Dune 1 with the fall of House Atreides.
Yeah.
Once Paul and his mother find the Furman, Paul is forced to get into a combat battle because he's challenged, and you have to fight to the death. And this is Paul's first fight to the death. Paul has trained his whole life, but as we said, he wasn't experienced in real combat.
Right.
So Paul was very skilled when he fought this person, but Paul wasn't ready to kill. So after Paul kills his opponent, it's like this is like the birth of of the new Paul.
Yeah.
He's no longer the Duke's son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul's a man now, and Paul has to blaze his own path. Paul has killed now. Paul has drawn blood. You are no longer a kid. Paul's a warrior now. And the Furman, after you kill one of theirs, now you must be accepted by us, you know, because you took one of ours.
Yeah.
So now you add to our community.
Exactly.
You know, so after Paul beat theirs, they had to let him in. And that's essentially the end of Dune Part 1. And what I like about Dune Part 2 is it starts right where Dune Part 1 ends.
I'm talking about
the very moment it ends. Dune Part 2 starts of them in the desert. Right after Paul's duel with, what was his name, bro? It started with a J. He dueled with Jameis.
Jameis was the guy's name.
That's who he dueled with. But yeah, in Dune Part 2, essentially, you know, because at the end of Dune Part 1, we're also introduced to Chani.
Okay, so
Zendaya's character.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to go ahead and give y'all a quick heads up. Zendaya, yeah, she was a big thing in the movie. You know, but it's just like...
She's big in the promotion of Dune Part 1, but she's not really in Dune Part 1.
Yeah, you won't see her until
Part 2 is when you get your fill of
but
Chani.
But I'm going to say this. They do a good job of making you want to see her in Part 2.
They do.
You know, it's like, it's a feel like, damn, you know, you... Zendaya, you want to see her. You know what I'm saying? Shout out. Because it's just like, you know.
You want to know what Chani got going on. Right, how she going to play into the story. Yeah. What role she going to play in Paul's story.
Because Paul, he been having visions and all this stuff about her, the future or whatever. And that's another thing. Some of the stuff in the movie, in the first movie, I didn't realize was actually later. You feel what I'm saying now? You remember
it
when there was that war?
Movie, yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
But, his visions are not always right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But it just makes sense.
And a lot of them change.
And that's good. That's why he said he... Yeah, we gonna get to it.
We gonna...
we goddamn... We rolling in the Dune Part 2. I was just telling y'all, you know, if you was expecting to see Dune, you know, Zendaya in Dune Part 1, yeah, just hold tight and you'll see her in Dune Part
2. You will see her in Part 2.
You know, it's a really... You know, it's good. Good little story though. It makes you want to be there when she finally.
Yeah, when she show up, she a Furman. She a girl in the Furman. You know, she out there with the other warriors. When she show up, you like, because she get the drop on Paul, and she's like, basically tell him I would have killed you if I wanted to.
I'm talking about
Paul
first,
didn't even know she was there.
The very first word she says, I wasn't gonna let you harm my friends. Like,
you can't. But but yeah, she tells him, my bad, y'all. My dog started barking. Yeah, that's what he does when cars beep, but excuse him. But yeah, Chani, she the first time we see her, she's getting a drop on Paul.
Oh, like, yeah.
Could take him out if she wanted to.
Like, I mean, like, that could have been the end of the movie right there. Paul dying.
Bro, imagine that. Dune Part 2, Paul's dead.
Man.
And then they just offed him right there standing behind him.
I'm talking about... I love that ending scene, though, because really, they really surrounded... They really... You know how they surrounded our guy, yeah. You know? My guy... Okay, another thing I love, too, in the scene, they kept using this sign language thing with each other where people didn't know what they were saying, but they did. Oh, it was so amazing. So he's, like, telling them, yo, we're being watched. And the Furman are around them on some, like, Metal Gear Solid shit. Like, you don't know where they... You know how fucking Metal Gear Solid 4, he was coming out with fucking guy with the camo? That's how it almost was. Because it's like, where did y'all even come from? So it's just like, they surrounding them. And tell me why Lady Jessica got down like that. I didn't know she was
she
finna...
She did.
I didn't know she was finna...
Lady Jessica
I mean,
was
she
gangster.
Took off her shit. She was like, okay, let me goddamn, like, you want to challenge me type shit? So it was a real cool scene to set up or whatever. And, you know, her fighting Stilgard. Zendaya really having to drop on our guy Paul or whatever. So it was all a nice little setup to end the movie or whatever. And really, I ain't gonna lie, I felt like it shouldn't have been the end of the movie. I'm going to hit you hard.
But that's because it was part of a two. The mm-hmm. first Doom Part 1 and Part 2 is all one book.
Yeah.
So that's why the end of the first one feels like it's unfinished. Mm-hmm. Because it is unfinished. The ending isn't until the end of the second part. And the second part starts, and we basically, this is our Paul's journey into becoming a Furman.
Right.
Learning the world, gaining a trust,
yeah.
learning the desert. All, you know, Paul, this is what Doom Part 2 is. And also is Lady Jessica's advancement of the Bene Gesserit prophecy
yeah.
and getting people to believe it and actually making it happen herself.
I mean, literally herself. Yeah. She, I mean, like...
And on the Harkonnen side, they are trying to reclaim... They are trying to control, get spice production under control on Arrakis,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know that Paul and his mother survived.
Oh, the Atreides wipeout. They thought Atreides they thought all the Atreides were gone, in which they had the right idea by not, you know, because the Bene Gesserit would know. The Bene Gesserit didn't want Paul and his mom to die, so they wanted them to basically have banishment. But it was like, you know, of course the Harkonnens weren't going to have that, you know. So they were like, we'll still, you know, drop them off in the desert. They won't survive.
Right.
They end up surviving, you know what I'm saying? The Bene Gesserit got way of knowing if you lying. So it's just like they had to do it in a way where, you know, they wouldn't get caught. But still, they end up surviving. And now you got these people, you got Paul and his mom basically building an army without these the freaking Harkonnens knowing.
That you feel what I'm saying? In the Furman, basically building a family with these powerhouse people that live on Arrakis. And it was good to watch. Lady Jessica starts becoming the Reverend Mother, which is like this religious figure they consume all the pain and memories from former Reverend Mothers. They give advice.
Sound too much.
They're clairvoyant, so they can see in the future.
That
and things
scene, like, nigga, I thought when she drank the blue water, I thought her fucking head was going to pop.
Oh, and she's also pregnant.
Right.
Lady Jessica is pregnant.
That was another thing.
Lady Jessica is pregnant with Paul's little sister.
Mm-hmm. So that's another big thing. But it's just like that scene. I thought her head was going to...
Gosh, y'all have to... See it's this. So many stuff. It's so many... The lore is so deep that if we tried to explain it all to y'all...
Yeah, we couldn't. We couldn't.
It's like virtually impossible.
Yeah.
You have to
see the shit with your
and
eyes.
They... Shout out to Denis Villeneuve.
Man,
Villeneuve.
Good job conveying that.
They do it so well,
man,
bro.
It's just like... I really thought... I think I'm there. I feel like I'm watching it. Like, I want it to be on Arrakis. I wanted to be a Furman. It's a desert planet, and I wanted to be in that motherfucker. I was like, shit, this shit just looks so good.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, and... The Furman, they were some honorable warriors. That's what you can fuck with, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, they got down, but they did love and respect their people. You know what I mean? You know.
But they wanted freedom from the Emperor. And that's what Paul and Lady Jessica were going to play on. The Furman felt like a Messiah would come to help them get free of the Emperor. Back to a world where they could have blue skies and blue oceans instead of sand and sandworms.
Right, and luscious green forests. And, you know what I mean? That's what they believe can happen for them.
So, you know, Paul, I like how they show Paul earning the Furman's respect and trust. You know, he go to combat with them. He learned how to ride the sandworms. He grows relationships and gets close to everybody. Paul really does his due diligence to get on the Furman's good side.
Oh, definitely.
Because a lot of people didn't like him when he first got there.
Oh, yeah. When he got there, man, they was in the north at first. Because, I mean, like, they weren't really Steel Guards unit, whatever it was. You know, half of it was like a half and half thing. It was like some people was really like, okay, this kid could be the guy from the prophecy. But then the other half was like, nah, nigga, Furman believe in Furman, bro.
Yeah.
We do our thing. Like,
fuck you, Paul.
You know? And it's like, that shit was real. It was nice to see that, though, whatever, because, you know, Chani, Zendaya's character, she didn't believe that
he was. She didn't want to. Even as they slowly fell in love, she never allowed herself to get the prophecy stuff never meant anything to her. She actually mm-hmm. wanted him to stay away from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. They did. Like I said, it wasn't a lot said in this. It's a lot said, but it's not a lot said. You know, I love
they how do a they lot use, of showing instead of telling, which is what you want
to
do.
I like film. To see the characters, you know, really show the depth of the actors, you know what I mean? Because, you know, they just said what needed to be said. It didn't need to be a whole bunch. They showed you everything else and how, you know, the actors were going to, you know, be with one another and stuff or whatever. So I enjoyed that or whatever, you know.
And in Dune Part 2, we are introduced to Paul Atreides' counterpart, Fade Rotha.
Oh, man, yeah.
Fade Rotha is a Harkonnen warrior. Soon to be, they want him to be the emperor. He's harsh, brash. He's mm-hmm. a murderer, but he's smart.
Yeah.
Like, Fade wants people to think he's some wild animal, but he's super calculated yeah. in reality, you know? But he's not scared. He's very skilled in combat. And basically, the Baron employs Fade, his nephew. Fade is Baron Harkonnen's nephew. Mm-hmm. And he tells Fade, you know, go regain control of spice production on yeah. Arrakis. So, of course, Fade takes that as an opportunity to gain power.
Yeah.
The Harkonnen are dark. They're dirty. Oh, they're man. Grungy. And they'll kill their own family for power. They don't care. They're very backstabby, do whatever it takes for self-gain yeah. type of people. That's who the Harkonnen are. Mm. So Fade Rotha is played by, what's his name? Ain't his name Austin Butler?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Austin Butler. And man, Austin Butler did an amazing
yeah, he did his
job, y'all. Fade was an awesome antagonist for the movie, man. He was scary. He was tough. He was smart. He was fucking cool.
He was cool like, as fuck. Fade Rotha really was character.
A dope bad guy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't lie to you. Like, yeah, Austin Butler really, really leaned into the part, man.
Oh, man, he gave it his all. I mean, no fucking way. I'm not kissing that old man, nigga, that in that fat suit. That scene killed my ass. I was like, yo.
Oh, yeah, there's a like, scene where Fade kisses him and the Baron. Oh, and not in an God. Intimate
nah,
way.
It's
in a family way. Because yeah. mm-hmm. that's his uncle. But
but the way it was, I was like, wow. I was like, he really going in with this part. And it just looked good. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, wow. I was like, okay, you guys really took that part.
He kissed the shit out of him.
Like, damn, nigga. I was like, what? One take, nigga, maybe. Like,
yo, he kissed fuck. The shit like, out of
sorry, we didn't get that. Let's try it again. No. Matter of fact, I even like that.
Oh, and this one, they also introduced us to the Emperor, who's played by Christopher Walken. And his shout out, Christopher Walken, that's one of the OGs. And in the Emperor's daughter, Princess Ilulan. Who is played by Florence Pugh.
Mm-hmm.
Florence Pugh. I like Florence Pugh. I liked her in Oppenheimer. She was in Black Widow.
Black Widow was cool, but it wasn't cool at the same time. We won't go there.
But Oppenheimer was fucking amazing.
Oppenheimer was on point.
It was. She did shout a cool out, job. Shout out Christopher Nolan. Shout out Cillian Murphy. She's done a
few good job, you know, movie stuff. I like Christopher Walken. That's my
Christopher Walken is the OG, bro.
I mean, like, my favorite movie I've probably seen him in. And he's done a lot, but I'm going to
say. A lot.
He's done so much, but the one that really sticks to me always when I see his face is Click. And I really love Click. It's just like, he was like the angel of darkness in that shit. He played a really good role.
Christopher Walken is in so many movies. We'd be sitting here just naming them.
We
for,
would end up being have it would be a Christopher Walken goddamn yeah, podcast. Yeah,
just about, know he's Christopher Walken is a legend. He is an OG, and man, just go check out some of his stuff. He has a voice that is just a one of a kind type of voice. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but the way he talks is cool as hell.
But
back to Dune. But you know. So, of course, in this, we get to see. So, Fade comes to Arrakis, and Fade is, you know, blowing shit up. Oh, he's blowing up Furman strongholds and shit. You know, trying to do his big one.
And he gains back that control.
Yeah, gets control of the spice.
Because the Atreides aren't there anymore. And in Doom Part 2, the Atreides, you know, they've been wiped out. You only got Paul and his mom. And now we're with the Furman. So now they need people to get back and get over in the spice. Now, mind you, the Furman, they still be trying to interrupt spice production because it's their fucking land. It's like, nigga, why y'all always here trying to come here and take our shit? We don't give a fuck if you guys need this shit for your fucking space travel. Nigga, this shit fucking does way more than that. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, sacred. Nigga, our land is really sacred, and you have no respect for any of it.
You coming over here just taking all of it. You feel what I mean? So the heart.
You know what it feel like?
The Furman?
Avatar. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about like
the blue people? Bro, I'm talking about the premise of the story.
Yeah, how the fucking
like this
humans.
Planet,
yeah.
Then we have this stuff and it's all sacred to us. And,
y'all don't give a fuck. Fucking it up. Like.
Yeah. Filmmaking, y'all. It'd be the same stories, just told in different ways.
Cutting shit down. And like, but basically, that's how it was. Y'all coming here fucking up our lands, using up the stuff that we use for medical purposes, nigga, for our food. You know what I mean?
The spice
like,
they food.
Come on, bro. Like,
all the Furman are blue eyed because they consume spice on the regular.
Right, on the regular. It didn't take long for Paul to get that blue eyes.
Paul looked cool as fuck with his blue eyes.
Him and his mom, I actually thought, look, the baby in her stomach had damn blue eyes.
First off, I love Timothée Chalamet hair.
Yeah. I don't know. What's up with the swooshes?
Bro, that nigga hair go hard.
It's like
Timothée Chalamet hair go crazy, bro. His hair don't go hard, bro.
It's like, oh, he's always a Super Saiyan almost.
Bro, this nigga hair don't go crazy. This nigga hair go crazy. You tweet. Yo, listen. Timothée Chalamet hair go crazy. I don't care what nobody say. His hair goes crazy, bro. But, you know, with him gaining the trust of the Furman and Fade Rotha attacking them.
Yeah, it forces him south.
They forces and, them all south.
And he doesn't want to go south
because his
knows,
visions
he
have
knows
shown
about the prophecy
war and the, death you if know? He goes south.
And his visions, he keeps seeing, you know, this one thing that's going to lead him to this, to a world of destruction. And he doesn't want to go there, you know, but it's like everything that is happening is forcing him in that way, you know, when he has to make that choice to go there. And he knows what's going to happen when he goes south, you know. And so,
yeah,
we spoilers on here, right?
We've been spoiling this whole time.
Okay,
because the Holy War is coming.
Right, there we go.
And
there we go.
That's the visions he's been seeing of the Holy War coming. But y'all got to remember, because we dumbing this down for this podcast, but Paul wants a holy war to come because Paul wants revenge.
Facts.
For his father's death.
Mm-hmm.
For y'all killing everybody from House Atreides, attacking us in our sleep. Paul wants revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul has been doing a lot of this. And not that he doesn't care about the Furman people or Shani, but Paul has not lost sight that of what is going to get him his revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And being the things he is doing, being a part of the Furman, becoming their messiah, all that leads, plays into him getting his revenge. If it didn't, Paul wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mother told him, your father didn't believe in revenge. And Paul very sternly told her, well, I do.
Facts. He's like, I'm trying to do what I can for myself, really. And yeah, he has his own motives or whatever. At the same time, Paul knows what's right. But Slicky, he's
no,
cool.
You got. So this is what I was gonna say. The argument you weren't gonna, you might not have thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Paul doesn't give a fuck about what's right.
You don't think so?
No, Paul.
You think he's just
bro? Peep, Paul. What the movie is trying to. Paul is not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's not a good guy. This is how Paul will get his revenge for his father's death. Paul don't give a fuck about. I'm not saying Paul wants the Furman to die or anything, but if they could not help him get his revenge, he wouldn't even be there.
Right.
And he wouldn't be he wouldn't care about Chani, none of that. That's why at the end of the movie, he was willing to hurt Chani's feelings like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in service of my revenge.
Yeah.
Hey.
Anything goes.
It has to. Anything. Mm-hmm. And I have to do this to get the what I want.
Yeah. I didn't think about it. I was thinking Paul didn't want to. You know how I've been looking at the movie? I've been looking at, when it came down to it, I've really been looking at his mom as the bad guy and Paul as being the good guy.
Once he crossed a certain line.
But that wasn't until he left. He
no longer.
You know, to the south.
But none of that no longer mattered. And he was okay with that. Because he knew that was the route
and to what he wanted. When I seen that, that was that scene where, you know, him and Chani, he was like, I'm going to stay here and fight. But they were like, nah, people aren't going to go down to the south without you.
Even people, you know? He started talking at the end. Mm-hmm. When he went in that room, he was yelling at them people saying, I am the Messiah. Right. He was in a whole different mind phase, bro. Yeah. It was no longer the modesty and shit. It was a switch.
That's what Yeah.
The switch went up because it was like, bitch, this is what it is. This is what's going to get me to the revenge that I want.
Right.
Fuck the modest shit. Fuck that. Like, Paul had been calculated the whole time, though.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And his mom, too. But even with that, it was still going to lead to him getting his revenge. Bro, the revenge is his main, ploy, bro. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, like, that is the main thing leading Paul down this path.
Right.
It's not love. It's not Shani. It's literally revenge for what happened.
Man, that shit sucks.
But do you know why?
Why? Because I want the nigga to be a really good guy. I want him to be really...
You gotta open your mind to the duality of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is part Harkonnen, bro.
Oh, he did say that in the movie.
They keep trying to let you know, like, yo, he's not his father. Mm-hmm. His father's 100% Atreides.
Right.
He ain't got that nastiness in him that Paul do.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is part Harkonnen. Those are nasty people.
Mm-hmm.
Paul even moved like a Harkonnen. Paul's ready for revenge. Paul kills his grandfather at the end of the movie. Yeah. What do Harkonnen do? They kill family, right?
Kill family.
Does Paul not kill family in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Paul moves like, you have to peep the subtleties, bro,
mm-hmm.
that they're giving you. Paul moves. He does things his dad would have never did. But his dad ain't part Harkonnen.
Right.
His dad don't have that dirt in his DNA. To be green like that. To be greasy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul does.
Right.
So does his mom. That's why she's willing to finesse and lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you got to peep. Duke Leto was all Atreides.
Right.
He wouldn't have done a lot of the shit that Lady Jessica, and now that the movie's showing you, Paul also will do.
Yeah.
These are part Harkonnen people, bro.
Yeah.
So they will cross certain lines.
They
will draw blood. They'll kill family.
That shit hurts my feelings because I'm rooting for Paul, but...
It's just a natural inclination for people to make the main character a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not.
Yeah.
Paul crossed the line of a good person. He doesn't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was willing for the war. Yeah. Think about it. A good, perfect person would have done everything to avoid a holy war because that's all the major civilizations in your universe fighting.
Right.
That's millions dying.
Yep. That's what he kept seeing in his visions.
Once Paul crossed that line, he embraced the war.
Mm-hmm.
He was ready for it. He told the Furman, I'll take all of you.
Right.
Load your ships and let's go.
Right.
Paul was ready. But yeah, Paul turns into a whole different guy in this movie. He goes through a whole transformation. He drinks the blood of the worm from the worm.
Oh, that shit was cool how they got that shit.
And it opens his mind, makes him clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. He can see the future. Paul learns how to ride the sandworms.
Oh, he can use the voice now.
Yes. Paul becomes a whole new person, fully embraces the Messiah.
Part of it, like that he's taking on that persona,
fully
like,
embraces it,
yeah,
and mounts a full-on attack on the Harkonnen and the Emperor's forces on Arrakis.
Oh yeah, you know, really they were coming after them, but Paul and them were already ready. You feel what I'm saying? That was the end that. The end, coming up on the end, it was a lot going on. You feel what I'm saying? Because the Emperor is getting there, and he's not even supposed. He's like, yo, he's like on some shit. I gotta make sure that these niggas die, but they put themselves in the predicament. You feel what I mean? Like, cause he don't know
that on the sandworms.
He didn't know the fucking Paul had them out here with the Furman like this or whatever. No. You know,
what? And they coming in ready to wreck shit. And they wreck shit. Oh my God, y'all! That's one of the best scenes when them worms come through, destroying everything. Yeah. Yeah. Bro, they're so large, and the CGI looks fucking great. I don't know
what they did, but
they blended it well. And I like they use a lot of lighting tricks and dust and sand and shit to make the CGI look good in this movie. But it's smart because it works.
Yeah,
it's a very smart way, and it works. And yeah, man, the Furman following behind Paul, they mount a full frontal, and you know. Man, Chani was slaying shit.
Bro,
Zendaya was in the war putting in work. This motherfucker was like Rock Lee, bro. Like, she was, Chani was putting in work.
Yo. She really had been putting in work the whole movie. Like, it was like, her character was respected already. You know, she's already a young character. She knew how to ride a sandworm. I mean, like, the way she fought out there, you feel what I mean? It's like, yo, put in a lot of work or whatever with that character.
Yeah, she was Chani dope was as hell.
Like, and at the end, they definitely put in the beaters. Nigga, let's talk about it. The sand, how they came out of the sand.
Oh my God, was doing this thing where they were like under the sand, but they virtually looked fucking invisible.
Man.
And it was crazy how they would pop out the sand, the Furman. And just start murdering these motherfuckers, bro.
And the fighting style
they could fight so, it was so cool, but they fight good as hell.
Yeah, they were smooth with it, bro. Bro, right before the thing dropped on you, I was like, the wheel?
Yeah.
And that nigga came out, that shit, I was like, oh my God. I was like, really? Y'all doing it like this or whatever? It looked so cool, because how do you even make that happen?
And at the when Paul drinks the blue worm liquid, it makes him clairvoyant and like he can see the past, the future, all that kind of stuff. So he also finds out he's part Harkonnen. That's what I was just saying earlier. I know I spoiled that like 5 minutes ago. But Paul is part Harkonnen. He finds out that Baron Harkonnen is his grandfather. That is his mother's father. His Bene Gesserit mother is also part Harkonnen.
Right.
So Paul is part Harkonnen, part Atreides, part Bene Gesserit. This nigga Paul is everything, okay? This nigga Paul is everything,
he's
bro.
Too good.
This nigga's a xenomorph, a motherfucking motherfucking citizen of Krypton, and one of them niggas from goddamn Invincible, okay?
Man.
Paul is just he's mixed with all the good shit, all right?
Really
all the crazy
like
shit.
That, really though, like, you know what I'm saying?
And I ain't gonna say good shit because the Harkonnen is bleh,
yeah.
But that's where his nasty side comes from.
He need a little bit of that. Sometimes you need a little bit of that. And really, like I said, Paul is really just like that or whatever, you know? I like, from the beginning, I like who Paul was. And the evolution all the way into who he is now in part two is like, yeah, I would be any regular person would be the same way. My family just got killed. My dad was just murdered or whatever. Like, yeah, nigga, I want to kill somebody.
No, I'm going to fuck you up.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, fuck all that. Like, yeah, holy war. Nigga.
Bitch, we burning all this shit down.
Fuck, like, you talking all that shit. Like, what? You didn't came to my planet? Like, then set me up? Y'all set me up. Didn't even fight me straight up. You feel
right, right. Snuck me in my sleep.
Like, it would have
so
been.
So Paul came with all the smoke at the end. And he challenged the Emperor. First off, he killed Baron Harkonnen.
Oh, killed
his granddaddy. He walked up to him on some gangster shit. Walked up to him and said, grandfather.
That's all I gotta say to you. I know who you are.
Yank. Killed the Baron and then challenged the Emperor. He knew the Emperor wasn't gonna fight him. The Emperor an old ass pussy. So he knew the Emperor wasn't gonna fight him. But the Emperor offered up his champion, Fade Rothar. So Fade, of course, stepped up to fight Paul. Mm-hmm. Fade want the throne. Yeah, I'm gonna fight Paul.
Man,
so Fade, but you gotta remember, Paul part Harkonnen, so Fade is his cousin.
Yep.
Yeah. But see, so Paul step up, and Fade, what does Fade, what does Paul say? May thy knife chip
and shatter.
And shatter.
Oh, that's one of the
coolest. That shit was cool as fuck.
what? When they hit the cross your chest and over the head with
and
the,
it went fade, face. May thy knife chip and shatter. Like, he had this evil ass smirk on his face the whole time. Like Fade was so ready for the duel. Like, and man, what I will say about Dune, y'all. They do not overload you with action.
Yeah.
But the fight scenes they do have are tight
mm-hmm.
and well done.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy all of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no wasted movements. It's tight, well done. This duel between Fade Rotha and motherfucking Paul Atreides. Hold on, what they call him? Asur Mu'adib. You know what I'm saying? This fight was awesome.
Oh yeah, they was going in.
Putting in work. Yeah. My nigga Fade had the hands. My nigga Paul had the hands.
I was disappointed. Cause it's like, you know, at this point in the movie, you know Paul's the main character, so you almost know Fade is gonna die. But it's like, right? It's like, I didn't want Fade to die. I want the nigga to have some more screen time.
Fade was so cool, bro.
I was kind of disappointed that he died, but it's like, because I haven't read the book, so I didn't know he was going to die or anything like that. But it's like, when it's coming up, you're like, damn, it's like, okay, well, Fade this is going to be the end of this. You know, no matter how fucked up Paul get, fucking goddamn Fade is probably going to die in this shit. So, but still, minding that the fight was really good or whatever. It was, you know, really good. I really enjoyed it.
And Paul allows, the way Paul wins is he allows Fade to stab him so he can get close to Fade. And then Paul uses a secret blade to finish Fade off.
Facts.
But it was an awesome fight. Oh, and when he stabbed Fade, what Fade say? You fought well, Atreides. Oh, it was so good, y'all. Listen. These Austin Butler, Timothy Chalamet in this scene, man.
Y'all did y'all think?
Oh, they was acting.
Choreographed, nice. I mean, it was just well played or whatever.
You know? He fought well, Atreides.
Man.
Right before he died. Oh. And Fade had said that earlier in the film. There's a scene earlier where it's Fade Rotha, where it's his birthday. And to celebrate, he fights three Atreides in an arena. And when he kills the last one, he says to him, "You fought well, Atreides." He whispers it in his ear.
So it's just a play on back on that. But y'all see, man. Yeah, this is really solid, man. Like, everything they did all the way up until the end.
Oh, man, it was so good. You know, good.
Takes out our guy, Fade Rotha. And then...
R.I.P. Fade.
Man. And then, you know, the challenge is supposed to be on some emperor. Shit like the emperor.
So since he killed Fade...
Man, he gets to kill the emperor. But...
His daughter begs for his life to be spared and says that she will take Paul's hand in marriage and join powerful houses to form a powerhouse.
Yep.
So, of course, Chani is pissed.
Oh, I'm talking about...
Imagine your boyfriend standing across the way with another bitch telling him, "Okay, I'll marry you for power purposes." And he says, "Yes." You're going to be like, "Whoa!
What the heck just happened?" Like,
so Chani is taking out the moment immediately.
Oh, I'm talking about... We see that instantly. You'll see. Like, oh my God. She's pissed. She's angry. You know, and anybody would be hurt on that. If I see my girl taking some guy's hand for power, you know, movements, like, what am I to do?
So Chani runs out of there. She doesn't give a shit about this shit anymore. She's pissed. She didn't want the prophecy to be a thing anyways. Paul's going to marry somebody else. Whether it's for power purposes or not, it still hurts her. She leaves. Paul spares the emperor to take his daughter's hand in marriage. And Paul tells the Furman people to prepare for the Holy War, to load the ships and prepare to go fight the other houses, because the other houses don't respect the duel that just happened.
Right.
And Paul taking the throne, which makes sense. It looks to them like Paul just did a coup.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't there, you would think this nigga just strong-armed the fucking emperor out of his seat.
Yes.
So you wouldn't respect it either. You're like, hold the fuck up, bro. Mm-hmm. Like,
but
so,
that's what's messed up. It's like, everything happened so fast. If y'all just would have took a little bit more time, people would have actually known that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, hold up. Like, okay, so it is a little shit that I was mad about at the end or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
When these niggas came, right? You know, they came to They came to Arrakis, the other houses, because they heard that all the shit was going on. I was like, damn, why aren't the other houses down here at this fucking ceremony where these niggas are basically about to fight to see who's finna win? You feel what I'm saying? Facts. I'm like, it just didn't make sense to me. Like, why? You said we gonna destroy... Okay, destroying the spice mines to threaten them not to come down with the tax is cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. We're going to destroy all this shit if you guys fuck our shit up. I thought that shit was, okay, smart move. But, nigga, why not invite the other houses? This is how you... Come on, Paul. Come on. This is how you think. Paul
had to move in the moment.
Bro. Revenge.
You didn't have time. He didn't have time to invite the other houses.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. The Emperor was on Arrakis right then.
He already had one, though. He had them. They were prisoners already.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. You remember the scene? First, it was a scene where he got in there. No,
I remember all of that. But what I'm saying is, nobody's respecting his word. Like, what I'm saying is, just because he had them as prisoners, that's still a coup, nigga. But if I kidnap the fucking president, that does not mean I'm respected. I just kidnapped the president.
Did you guys not just... Do they not know that Atreides has fallen because we were just... had a sneak attack? Does anybody know?
But they think I was just the Harkonnen. They don't know the Emperor had anything to do with it. And the Harkonnen are already known to be terrible people. Wow. So it ain't like nobody's like... They're like, oh, yeah, of course these motherfuckers did that.
Hell, come on, Paul. I would have been like, okay, Paul, man, before this fight.
He couldn't. You're not understanding. No, because even him challenging the Emperor is a surprise thing. Right. It's not like that was planned. So he couldn't. It's not like he hit the Emperor up like, hey, when you come here, I'm going to challenge you for the throne. The Emperor probably wouldn't have fucking came. So he didn't fucking tell all the other houses, hey, y'all, pull up. I'm going to challenge this nigga for the throne. Damn. Y'all need to witness this. No, it all had to happen, like, spur of a moment, as it was all... And, nigga, it was... No.
The other house is on some fake shit, though.
And he needed... The war is kind of what's needed. Because the Furman don't want them mining spice anymore. So that's the only way that's going to stop anyways. Yeah. So you got to go to war either way, because you want the Furman on your side. And they on your side because they feel like you freeing they planet.
Yeah, yeah.
So either way, war is happening. Because them other fucking houses is not going to let you stop mining spice.
Because they
about that money. And we need this spice.
Damn. So I guess it is a war no matter what.
There was no way around it, bro. You know he can see all the different futures.
Yeah.
On the way around the war, bro. So
he knew the holy war.
The only way around the war would have been to say, fuck my revenge.
Right.
And just let everything go. And he could have lived as a fucking Furman in Arrakis for the rest of his life. But we all know that wasn't Paul's intentions.
I ain't gonna lie, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it'd be a cool place to visit. But living there my whole life.
Arrakis?
Yeah.
That would not be cool to visit. We watching a movie, it looks cool. If we was alive, that'd be fucking terrible.
Niggas coming out to kill us out of nowhere.
I don't have time for that shit. Mm-mm. I don't have time for that shit.
Trying to take my body for water.
Excuse me. Whew. But Dune, y'all, is a fucking awesome world.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome characters. Awesome world building. The lore's amazing. The politics hits hard. The performances are A1. Mm-hmm. The set design and costumes are the shit. Denis Villeneuve did his fucking thing. Greg Fraser, great cinematographer. The movie looks amazing. Timothée Chalamet, motherfucking Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken. We didn't even mention Dave Bautista. I mean,
we won't even get into him because, it's Dave Bautista.
He's so many characters.
I'll tell you this. I really enjoy him in the first movie. In the second movie,
such a disappointment.
He was a big letdown, okay? We'll just leave it at that. And that's why we probably even bring him up because so much better shit to talk about than fucking Dave Bautista in this fucking movie.
Y'all, please, please go watch
this. Absolute, probably peak of sci-fi movies, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like...
I like this much. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I told Brandon this. I like Dune better than Star Wars.
And he understands how much I love Star Wars. And I understand... I even like these movies better than Star Wars. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm talking about it's almost the peak... of the sci-fi realm. This is where you want to be at. Like, you know, when you think of sci-fi, you think of somewhere where you can't be, but you can see yourself being there. You know what I mean? So it's just like they put you in a place where, you know, we really can enjoy something like that. I mean, the visuals, stunning, you know what I mean? Actors really put their all into it, and you can really tell, you know what I mean?
Denis' direction, the actors' performances, Greg Fraser's cinematography, the score. Hans Zimmer's score. It all came together to make two beautiful pair of fucking sci-fi gold. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see
what they do if they do Doom Messiah.
Yeah.
Because this is Doom Part 1 and 2 just cover the first book, y'all. It's 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Atreides isn't even the main character for the whole series.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's only the main character for the first 2 books.
Right.
Because after the second book, Paul like has to leave or some shit because of some shit, some laws he broke or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some shit like that. But yeah, man, y'all, check out, please. It's on Hulu. I know Doom Part 1 is on Hulu. You can rent all of this shit on Amazon.
Right.
But check it out, man.
Oh, this definitely shit is worth a sit-down, you what? Know what I'm saying?
A few sit-downs.
You know, it's just, it's exhilarating, really. You know what I mean? Put that on the biggest screen you have on your house and sit down, turn that TV up, and, you know, really sit down and indulge, you know, mm-hmm. because it's a really solid movie. Especially if you're into this kind of stuff. If you haven't seen it and you're into the sci-fi realm of things or whatever, Dune is definitely one of the movies you want to check out because it's just so, oh my God, it just pulls you in. And
top two and not number two.
And it doesn't, it doesn't let you go. So you guys really, really go check it out or whatever. As my guy was saying, you can see it.
Amazon rented. Mm-hmm. And see, look, so we trying to get right with our outros, you know what I'm saying? When we leaving y'all off,
mm-hmm.
we gotta remember that the episode ended and we leaving y'all off. We ain't been remembering that. You know, this is the Melanated Movie Guys, y'all. You know what I'm saying? This is gonna be the first podcast we put out that we try to promote. Rock with us. Mm-hmm. We gonna keep growing and getting better and
Definitely comment, you know, subscribe, and let us know what you guys think, because, you know, we just having a good time with this, and we want you guys to have a good time with us too, or whatever. And,
right.
You know, do the stuff you love, and I, you know.
And we're going to get into different topics, you know, best sci-fi movies, best slasher movies, mm-hmm. who's your favorite slasher, the dumbest movie endings.
It's going to be a lot of stuff you guys can come in here and check out with us or whatever.
The Melanated Movie Guys, mm-hmm. man. We just trying to, two melanated brothers trying to populate this film space and give y'all our opinion and synopsis on a lot of these big and small films. You know, we're going to introduce mm-hmm. y'all to stuff y'all probably would have never watched. Right. So, you know, that's the goal. You know, y'all rock with us, learn with us, and have fun with us on this film journey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I am Kata Sensei, and
I'm no Jedi.
We gonna Yo, get he that forgot right. his name. But nah, man, this is we the Melanated Movie Guys, and we finna be coming at y'all consistently with some heat. So like, subscribe, comment. You know, give us a rating on Apple and Spotify. And yeah, we're going to see y'all real soon.
Definitely. Everything black.